Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Revolutionary Life. Welcome to Revolutionary Life tonight. It is Friday night. And tonight, as we will be doing every Friday, we'll be summarizing, previewing, and wrapping up the week and the episodes and programs that we ran during the week. This is excellent time for those who may be just listening in, those who have been listening in but haven't caught all the shows. This is a great time to catch up on what you've missed, if you missed the show. And of course, guys, you can always go back and play an entire show because all my shows are archived. So they're all on demand. In other words, when you log into my site, just click on my profile, and you're going to get an entire list of episodes. I'm saying they go all the way back to 2011. And so these Fridays, as Friday rolls around, we're going to be just wrapping up what we've done this week. Excellent time to summarize and catch up on what went down. All right. And so I like to start all my presentations off by thanking everyone who took the time to listen in tonight. If it's night where you are, then this is a great way to end your night. It's 10 p.m. Central Standard Time here, and of course, Revolutionary Life. This show is on every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, guys, we do our wrap up. If you recall, we talked about in three major subjects. One, we talked about God. If you missed that section, we'll do a little bit today, but get back to that. And if you want to hear that whole piece. And we talked about the vote. The vote. Going out to vote. If you missed that, very interesting piece. Brought to me by several people. Some who love, who are adamant about voting. And some who don't even bother. We talked about that this week. So if you got a moment, you can go back and hear that whole presentation. But tonight, we're going to do a little summary of that as well as several other presentations that we did this week. The other one that we did this week, the one I started the week off with, was on Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. When I started this presentation, the day before I did that presentation, the city of Jerusalem was considered an open city. This city had been open for quite a while, and it has a long history of conflict even, because in the city of Jerusalem, of course, are holy places and pilgrimages, places of pilgrimage of several Judeo-Christian religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And so that was the day before I did the presentation that Jerusalem was an open city. The night I did that presentation, Jerusalem was a closed city for the first time in years, centuries, probably. In that the President of the United States of America decided to move the U.S. Embassy into the city of Jerusalem, the Israeli Embassy into the city of Jerusalem. The U.S. Embassy to Israel was moved within Israel to the city of Jerusalem. The once open, now closed city. By moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to the city of Jerusalem, it essentially declared to the world that Jerusalem belongs to the city of Israel and no one else. To do with what they will. And so, that was a very interesting presentation. If you missed the entire presentation, be sure to listen to that full presentation. Tonight we're going to summarize it along with those others. God, the vote that we did this week. All right, when I get back, guys, we're going to kick this off with Jerusalem. We should probably kick it off with Jerusalem since it was first of the week. And we'll do a quick summary. All right, and then we'll move to those other topics. So I want you to kick back, relax, and get ready for another night of your revolutionary life radio show. I'm your host, Gary. I'm about to give you a little music, and I'll be right back.
Let's begin now. is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill.
Is that all you got?
Let's begin now.
And we're back. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, in our review of the week, this is Friday, guys. So get used to Friday being a review if you missed presentations down through the week. And we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Last week, we started our presentations off with a presentation on Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. This city is in what's currently the state of Israel. When we did the presentation, guys, we talked about the forming of Israel. We talked about the history of the city of Jerusalem. And those of you who know, and those of who you don't, you know, well, you should know that Jerusalem is a holy city, a sacred, with several sacred places. There are places that are sacred to several of the Judeo-Christian religions. The Jews have the Wailing Wall there, an ancient wall from an old temple, from the old temple. The Christians have the Dome of the Rock. And they have even have a church there, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The Muslims, Islam, also sees the place as holy. It is as a place where Muhammad ascended into heaven. And they also have the Al-Aqsa Mosque. There's this big mosque there. And so these three religions, recently, before the day before I did this presentation, any one of the people, pilgrimages by the people of these religions to Jerusalem was possible. Christians could go, Jews could go, Arabs could go, Muslims could go, right, to worship. The day I did the presentation was the day that the United States government, for all intents and purposes, declared that Jerusalem was no longer an open city to everyone. Jerusalem now belonged and is named as the capital now of the now state of Israel. And I told you the history of Israel, guys. So when I said the now state of Israel, you have to understand that Israel did not exist. as a piece of land. And in fact, there are people in that religion who believe that Israel was never, and the scriptures were never identified as a piece of property anywhere. Anyway, so, however, there's now a state of Israel. And this capital is now Jerusalem, to control who comes and goes as it will. And so, ever since that happened, the news has been showing Palestinians, Muslims, and Arabs attacking and protesting Israel. Now, most of those attacks appear to be with rocks. Most of those Muslims that are attacking appear to be young men and women, children even. Of course, they were, when I saw it, they were, when I looked at the latest part, skirmish, the Israeli soldiers, well-equipped militarily, were actually shooting down these protesters. And smoke, shooting smoke, shooting all sorts of stuff at them. Interesting enough, it did not deter them. As they carried away those that are wounded and shot and died and dead, the others continued, burning tires, throwing rocks, yelling. Why? Well, if you're a Muslim, one of the holiest places in your religion just got a fence put around it. Too high for you to get over. Once an open city, now closed. It's the capital of Israel now. Everybody can't just run in now from other countries, other places. Right? And so, I wanted to bring that to your attention on Monday, because my take was, and I, as we did the history on Jerusalem, that Jerusalem was being put in play again. And I said again, and I went into some of the history. One of the stories I told, guys, if you missed that episode, now you've got to go back and check that episode to get all of it. But one of the stories I told was about how Jerusalem went from Christian-occupied city to a Muslim-occupied city, back to Christian again, back to Muslim again, back and forth throughout the centuries. Because they fought to control the city. They fought for who would control the city of Jerusalem before there was in Israel, a state of Israel. Oh, yeah. That was back in the days of the Crusades and the Knights Templar. They were fighting over Jerusalem then. Long before a bunch of United Nations got together and decided to give the Jews who were looking for a place to be after World War II, being turned around, being turned away at every shore, their refugees being turned away at every shore. The countries got together and decided, okay, well, let's give these Jews somewhere to go because we don't want them. They were turned away at every shore. And finally, countries got together and gave them a piece of land occupied for centuries by Arabs and Muslims that were called Palestine, that was referred to as Palestine. And the people there were referred to as Palestinians. They were Arabs. But they have a history there as well. All right. So check out my previous presentation, guys, because bottom line is that before any of them, before any of them were able to go and become a controller of Jerusalem, it belonged to Egypt. All of that land belonged to Egypt. Before the invasions of the Arabs. And so back in the, so everybody was trying to take this piece of property. Christians controlled the city. A war broke out between the Christians and the Arabs. The next thing you know, the Muslims controlled the city. Now, in all of that back and forth, I pulled the story out that I want to tell you guys that people talk about back in those days. Talked about back in those days. The story goes, the leader of the Muslims, the leader of the Arab army, who was now out of Israel, out of Islam, out of Jerusalem, out of power, and intent on taking Jerusalem back from the Christians, who had now taken control of Jerusalem. The Arabs amassed an army to go back and take control of the city of Jerusalem. And by the way, if you see what the Greeks called it, if you see what the Egyptians called it, it was more like Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But again, now we're at the time when of the Great Crusades, the Knights Templar, and control of the city of Jerusalem. And the story goes like this. The leader of the Muslim army at the time was Saladin the Great, they called him. The leader of the Christian army defending the city at the time was Charlemagne, as you may recall. And the story goes that Charlemagne and the Muslim leader Saladin met on the battlefield before the battle. Each man rode up to each other. They were out there individually as their armies watched on. In an effort to deter the Muslims, Charlemagne got off his horse, pulled his broadsword, this long, wide, steel metal sword, and he swung that sword against a rock stone that was sitting by the side of the road. And when he hit that stone, it broke half in two. Charlemagne looked up at Saladin, indicating him the power of the Christian army and its leadership. Saladin got off his horse, and the story goes that Saladin pulled his saber, his scimitar, from its hold where he was holding it. He pulled his scimitar out and held it in the air, just straight, directly out in front of him. And he took a silk scarf and threw it into the air. And as the scarf floated to the ground, it fell across the sword and split half in two without Saladin moving a muscle. And the war was on and popping. Anyway, so that's a story that goes around, that's been going around since the days of the Crusade, guys. All about the taking of the city of Jerusalem. Back and forth. And so now I told you, Jerusalem is back in play. If you listen to the whole presentation, you'll get this. But at the end of that presentation, I assured you that this had no religious basis at all. I assured you, if you looked at this as nothing but a material land grab, war, conquest, then you will understand what you see when you look at the war between the Palestinians and Israel today. You're going to hear a lot of religion. You heard a lot from me in that presentation. But this ain't about religion. There's something called the West Bank that Israel has been fighting, has been itching to expand itself into for the longest. All it needs is a war to do so. Funny thing, you know, Israel takes bulldozers to war. This is about taking property, y'all. Land. And more land. You see, you have to listen to my old classes. I told you the entire history of Western Europe, the building of great civilizations in Western Europe, that entire history talks about a methodology for building great civilizations that include war, conquest, and enslavement. And that's what you're watching now. You always watch, tell truth. The next presentation that we did, after we did the thing on Jerusalem, and guys, get the full Jerusalem, you know, try to understand what I'm saying. You might have to listen to the entire thing. So now, the next presentation, the next day or so, we did a presentation on, well, what we will do next is review the presentation we did on the vote. That was really concerning me because I had friends who, some were encouraging me, are you getting out to vote? Are you going out to vote? Are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote Democrat? Are you going to vote Republican? Surely you're going to vote. You know, people who don't vote, they got no right to bitch about anything. If you didn't bother to go vote, then you don't have any say about it. That kind of thing. And then I had friends who said, hell no, I'm not going to vote. I wouldn't waste my time. They already know who's going to be who. Who's going to be this guy or that in this position or that position. The vote is just something they give people to make them think that they're participating in their government. Once a year, they get a chance to participate in their government by voting. And nothing ever changes. It's an illusion. So I got those two friends. The voter and the one that wouldn't go vote because he doesn't believe, he believes it's a scam, a sham. Check that out. So I did a whole thing on the vote that prompted me to do a episode on the vote. So I'm going to give you a little music. And when I get back, we're going to go into the boat. So hang in there. I'm going to give you a little music and I'll be right back. Thank you. And we back. All right. You are listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, we review. This is Friday night, guys. On a Friday night, our last night before we're going to see each other again on Monday, I'm going to be back here, of course, on Monday at 10 p.m. But these Friday nights, we're just reviewing some of the things we went over throughout the week. We do a different subject every week, every day, every weekday, every show, pretty much. But they're all subjects that affect our day-to-day lives. We just look at them through a revolutionary lens. One of the presentations that we did, and the one I came back to talk to you about, was the vote. And I think what I want to do is I want to let you know, I want to impress upon those friends of mine who, and both of them, the ones who don't bother to vote and the ones who do, right? And so I talked a little bit about the vote in this country. Well, I talked to it in general. I reminded you that in some countries they had a no confidence vote, where if you didn't like the candidates, you did not vote. You still voted. You just voted no confidence. And if enough people voted no confidence, they strapped the two candidates, get two new ones, and start the election over again, start the debate over again. Right? And so we don't have that here. And so if you don't like the two candidates, and we talked about that too, you guys got to listen to my other presentation, because there will only be two that you see. Of all the many different political parties that run for president and other positions in government at every election, except you'll never hear about them because they don't make it up on that debate stage. But there's more than just Democrats and Republicans running. Well, in the presidential election, as you know, you had Jill Stein, you had the Green Party. There's more parties than that. You also had the Independent Party with Bernie Sanders. Except he didn't run. Unfortunately, he didn't run with his own party. And so maybe we'll talk about that sometime. The vote. Going down there to vote for somebody, nationally or locally, for that matter, city council, dog catcher. Right. How important it is it to vote and all that. And so consequently, this week's presentation on the vote was more of getting you familiar with how the vote falls on different individuals. I told you that for 300 years of slavery, I'm just saying 16, 17, 1800s, millions of people in this country didn't have the right to vote. Before it was a country, of course, but then once it was a nation, millions did not have the right to vote. So after 1776, white men of property, not even poor white men, white men of property, wealthy, could vote. Right? That's who voted. Period. End of story. no Indians, no blacks, no women, black or white. White men who owned property. Later it was expanded to all white men only. Still millions of citizens, of members of this nation, part of this country, could not vote. Now, if you were black, of course, you were chattel slavery, you were property. So, of course, you didn't even consider asking to vote or going to vote. You knew that wasn't for you. You were property. That was for people. That was for human beings, not livestock. This country treated you like livestock. So you didn't have any more right to vote than a cow or pig or chicken or horse. White people had the right to vote, and among them only white men. The black slave, enslaved Africans, achieved the right to vote, were given the right to vote, was given the right to vote before white women even got the right to vote. Said black men were being elected and running for office during the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. So we're in the 1860s, 65, after 1865. The Reconstruction period being that period when the South was reconstructing itself from being war-torn, the Civil War. And so, we didn't, at that point in time, if you were black, for the longest, for hundreds of years, you didn't even consider voting. But now everybody wants you to vote. For a while, you were three-fifths of a person, according to our Constitution. Of course, you were really five-thirds. But our Constitution called you three-fifths of a person. It was pretty convenient for the South, because the more people you have in your state, the more senators and representatives you can send to Washington. By counting enslaved humans as three-fifths of a human being, then they could count them and send more representatives to Washington to do their bidding. When black people got the right to vote, in the 1960s, there had to be there were physical efforts to keep black people away from the polls. Fear. So there was efforts to stop blacks from voting, even when they had the right to vote. So many of my families and others didn't bother going to the poll for fear. That the Klansman standing over there in his white uniform watching who you voted for, or standing in your way to keep you from getting to the poll, for having the gall to come down here where white folks are voting and try to vote. That went on, guys, for a long time. It was our relationship, it was a black man in relationship to the vote. hundreds of years. To the point where we got the right to vote, and then all of a sudden, decades and decades and decades of being blocked from voting. There used to be a poll tax money that you had to pay. And if you didn't have that money, you couldn't vote. There used to be a proficiency test, written test, that you had to take. Well, if you didn't read and write too well and know the answers on this test, or just didn't know the answers to the test, you couldn't vote. Every white person obviously must have already known, because they were voting long before these taxes were imposed. Right? You know, and I know, and I just told you that when this country was founded, white men of property could vote. Then white men in general could vote. So white men have been voting since there was a vote. It's common in their culture to vote. They have a history of having the ability to vote. You don't, if you're black or people of color. You do not have such a tradition. If you're an American black in this country, your people didn't vote and consider voting for centuries. You don't hear me. 1700s, 1800s, 19th, this, I'm sorry, 1865 was the Emancipation Proclamation. 1865, slaves were free. 1865. In 1968, Martin Luther King head was damn near blown off for fighting for the rights of people who were freed 100 years before him. So that rights we had as free men in this country, 100 years after those rights was given to us, we were dying fighting for them. And one of those rights was the right to vote. I'm just saying. In that presentation I did on the vote, and you got to go back and check it out to get, I guess, to understand where I'm coming from here and what I'm trying to relay. Simply that. When you think vote, don't put everybody in the same pot. I need you. If you're white, I need you to understand your relationship to the vote as a people, as a culture in this country, is quite a different relationship to the vote of people of color. And so if people of color are hesitant to vote, I just told you, they had reason to be. For hundreds of years, they had reasons to be. If people of this country ignore voting, it doesn't mean anything to them. It's election time. Hey, big deal. They go on about their business. They never go to a poll. Well, for 3 centuries, they didn't. So if it wasn't available for us then, and we had to fight and die to get there later. We had the Ku Klux Klan and the poll tax and the proficiency test and every other, now the voter ID today. They're saying this ain't for us, and they don't bother. There was a time we didn't bother for fear. And so they are still people of color who, like they did 100 years ago, didn't bother. Don't bother. That attitude stuck.
with some. So I just asked you to take a look. In that class, I just ended that class asking everyone to take a look at people's relationship to the vote before you call them unpatriotic for not voting. Or you tell them they don't get a say because they didn't go vote. If they don't have any faith in voting. Some people have a history. We all have a history. Some people have a history with the vote that is not a favorable one. It's not a welcoming one. It's not one that gives them hope. That's all. Just check them out. See what they're coming from with the vote. The next thing we talked about, guys, last week, if you missed it, we talked about the COLA, C-O-L-A, all caps, an acronym called the COLA. And I asked you, well, and I broke that down for you, that the COLA was an acronym for the cost of living adjustment. And the title of that class was, What Happened to Your COLA? And I explained to you in that class what happened to your COLA, as a matter of fact. And those who heard that class knows what happened to their COLA by now. If you missed it, go back and look at my earlier episodes. And one of them is about the COLA. But when I get back, we're going to review that presentation. And so if you missed it, if you'd like to get a little bit more on it, you're going to get some. We're going to do a quick summary of your cost to live versus die. I'll be right back.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
Repeat, this is not a drill.
Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
Ciao.
Shall we begin?